Sawatay! Welcome back to the Dungeon Diaries. As always, I am your hostess, Queen Titania. I was hoping to do an episode like Financial Domination Part 2, or an introduction to roleplay, or mummification, those kind of things. Perhaps more on sissies. However, the events of the last week have made it clear that the best topic to discuss today would be FetLife. In particular, I will be discussing in this episode the negative history of FetLife, the problems with FetLife, the controversies involving the administration of FetLife, and in particular its terms of use, as well as the, well, cyberbullying that FetLife has engaged in against other websites and its critics. FetLife was founded a little more than 5 years ago, in January 2008. I have been on FetLife for a little more than 4 years. I believe I joined in December or November of 2008. And at first, it seemed like any other fetish social networking site, except a little bit less in the way of a meat market like Alt or Collar Me, and this was the word around town, so to speak. It was what FetLife kind of promoted itself as. There wasn't a user search function as powerful as Alt or Collar Me to keep people from being harassed, to keep it from just being a place to meet up for casual sex, which is ironic since John Baku, the founder of FetLife's first project related to fetish networking, was basically a site created to deal with his problems hooking up with kinky people. It was called Friends with Fetishes, and according to Wikipedia, it was created because he was frustrated with his attempts to find women who had the same sexual interests as he did. But here comes FetLife a few months later, and it's kind of the opposite of that. It's not about finding people with the same sexual interests. It's about actually interacting and finding a community of fetishists, finding yourself as a fetishist, or whatever people go there for. In the past, there have been some more additions to make it easier to find other people, but it's never become like Collar Me or Alt, where the main reason you're there is to find people and basically to hook up with them. Now, that sounds like a pretty good website, and there's a reason it's gotten so popular. There's a reason it's not just popular, but that its users are very dedicated. If you've followed FetLife and its history, you've noticed that every time controversy pops up, there is a very loud, vocal number of people who will immediately defend it, and immediately defend its founder, John Baku, because they see him as, well, I'm not sure. I don't want to say a hero, but this is the internet, and I think anyone who's using the internet for any length of time will notice people's desires to form little communities on there. Whether it's fetishists, whether it's sports fans, whether it's fans of a particular team in sports, whether it's people from a certain area, or just look outside the internet. Look how people rally around their high school sports. Look how people rally around the local baseball team. Look at nationalism. Look at our general human desire to belong to things. When you are an outcast, like many fetishists feel they are, it's hard to feel like you belong to a community. And even though there have been internet communities for fetishists for almost as long as there's been an internet, be it on Usenets, BBs, Yahoo groups, websites like Collar Me or Alt, or specific fetishists like Rubber Pal dealing with rubberists, or chastity forums dealing with chastity slaves, or femdom forums like Max Fish. There have always been these places that people could congregate. But FetLife brought it all together, like a Walmart of fetish. And I think that those complaints have grown a bit more as time has gone on, that FetLife is too, quote, vanilla for many people. Whether those complaints are justified or not, that's another thing. So, if you're not familiar with FetLife, you basically set up a profile, you list your fetishes, you list who you are, you list some websites, you add your friends, you add some photos, and it's like any other social network, but with fetishes. So, why do problems exist? How do problems come about? Well, in some ways, the same way as any other website. On Facebook, you've probably seen many celebrity impersonators. You've maybe had someone impersonate you. On FetLife, this happens as well. But, in the past, FetLife was very slow to do anything about it. Not too long after I joined, and a former guest on this podcast, Miss Leila Hazlett, joined, she had an impersonator. And this person wasn't just impersonating her, taking her photos, and so forth. They were creating a whole new, well, persona of a 30-year-old, basically a slut, and using it for profit. They were using it to do affiliate work and make money off her photos. This wasn't allowed on FetLife under several grounds. It's kind of obvious why you wouldn't be allowed to pose under someone else's photos. But on FetLife, you weren't allowed to create for-profit accounts. If you wanted to advertise services on a for-profit basis, you had to actually advertise. If you were a professional dominatrix, you could be on FetLife and you could post in groups, but you couldn't do it as, let's say, Lexi Sindel couldn't have the Femdom Empire FetLife profile back then. It wouldn't be allowed. It had to just be for Lexi Sindel. Or Max Fish would have to be whoever Max Fish is, not maxfish.com. That kind of thing. So this person wasn't just allowed to set up an account for their specific affiliate work, especially not posing under someone else's photos. That was basically two or three violations of FetLife's terms of use. Did FetLife do anything? No. They refused to act. Leila had to then contact the people who owned the content, who had taken the photos, and use them for commercial gain, to contact the person and make her change her profile. The person was very indignant and seemed backed up by FetLife's lack of action. From there, FetLife did improve. In recent weeks, I've seen posts by the aforementioned Lexi Sindel that FetLife has been good about taking down content from her. Whether that's a policy change or they just don't want to anger one of the more famous femdom content producers on the internet, that's hard to say, because in the years following this incident with Leila, it kept happening. I've, from time to time, been active on the Vampire Freaks industrial gothic social network. Not incredibly so, but enough to have some friends on there who have been on there since they were 16 or 17, sometimes even younger. And they have lots of gothy, alternative modeling photos of themselves up there, often from as early as 16 or 17. On FetLife, you're not allowed to post photos of children, and you're not allowed to pose as other people. So, you can see where this is going. People would pose as these very fetishistic-looking girls, given that they were wearing very, you know, stompy platform, vinyl, leather, PVC, patent leather boots, vinyl clothing, wild hair and makeup, and they would try and claim that they were a dominatrix or a slave or whatever, and they would use that person's screen name. The person would then try to contact FetLife, and they wouldn't be able to get any attention from FetLife unless they set up a profile. That's pretty annoying. But part of the issue here is that these people would post photos of them from when they were underage. FetLife takes donations or support via credit card. Their deal with the credit card processors was that they would not allow any of the four taboos: child porn or pedophilia, bestiality or animals, scat, and incest. The rules on this varied from time to time. On some of them, you've been allowed to discuss it, but not engage or solicit it. In others, it's just outright not allowed. And with children, you're not allowed to post photos or drawings of children. It's just not allowed. Not just child porn. They're not allowed to have those photos. So, FetLife would drag its heels with these now of age, but formerly underage models. These weren't adult photos. These were simply fashion photos of, you know, PVC, leather, those kind of fashions. But they violated FetLife's rules, not just impersonating people, but their basic agreement with the credit card processors. And yet they didn't care. Why didn't they care? Well, lots of sexy photos bring people to FetLife. Could that be it? That seemed to be the reason why they would be very slow in taking down video content. Although, like I said, people like Lexi Sindel have said in the past that FetLife has been good to them. But when they first launched their video site, FetLife, or video feature, FetLife seemed more interested in keeping it populated with lots and lots of video, so people would pay money to support FetLife and get access to the video content. Your hard work would end up on the FetLife videos on someone else's account, and it would be a pain in the ass to get it taken down. It seems that's been changing, or at least has changed for some people. It's hard to say, so I won't demonize FetLife for that currently, but in the past, they have been very slow to take down photos or video, especially video, because video would directly contribute to their bottom line. But in this case, it's pretty terrible to make someone sign up for a website and then complain that their photos have been used, especially when they violate your agreement with the credit card companies, to go through all this effort, when it should be very easy, like on Colony, to just submit a claim with a little bit of proof, and the photos get taken down. This is how it seems to work on the rest of the internet. And FetLife thinks it works that way too, because they've become something of a Digital Millennium Copyright Act bully. They file DMCA takedown notices basically any time they get criticized. There have been people who have criticized FetLife's very weak privacy and security features, and they've found their proof of FetLife's holes and backdoors subject to DMCA copyright notices. They have to then file counterclaims, and FetLife will do this often. They are very, very litigious in this way, very active. Now you may say, well, they don't want these made public. Well, why don't they fix the issues? That's usually why someone exposes a hole in a public manner, to get people to realize that there's a problem. And it's not just these kind of issues. If you make fun or parody FetLife, they will file these claims. If you're aware of the website somethingawful.com, it's made its bread and butter for about 13 years, maybe 14, mocking other websites, mocking the internet making people stupid. So, they get a lot of frivolous legal claims made against them. They know how to deal with them, and they tend to laugh at them. So, about a year and a half ago, an article appeared on the Something Awful front page, titled, "Beating a Man in a Trash Bag, and Other True Stories of FetLife.com." It was based on a post on their forums, where people were posting screenshots of weird fetishes and gross things they'd found on FetLife. Why do I say that? Because it's frankly the truth. This wasn't an attempt to make fun of people for being fetishists. This wasn't an attempt to make fun of kink. This wasn't an attempt to expose people. These are the kind of screenshots you see in the article. A screenshot of the fetish page for being squashed in a full trash bag, and then trash bag girl. Or, on the next page, a filling animal scat enema. That would seem to violate FetLife's agreement that there not be bestiality or scat. Or, let's see, analed while suffocated with plastic bag. Are you getting the picture here? This isn't making fun of someone for liking to be tied up, or wanting to be fucked with a strap on, or really anything sane. This is making fun of people for posting about ball massage with streams of face fuck vomit, or beating men in garbage bags, or, let's see, being buried under large piles of laundry, or being daddy's kick bitch, or further illegal things that just weren't allowed. More mentions of bestiality or scat, or just ridiculous things. Blood-soaked blowjobs, being a radio-chipped registered dog. Is this making fun of kink? Is mocking someone wanting to be a horse's full toilet an insult to kinky people? No, it's not. And in fact, even though I don't think Something Awful realized it, they were showing that FetLife wasn't living up to its terms and agreements with credit card processors. So what did FetLife do? They filed a DMCA notice with Something Awful. They were laughed at because it was clear that Something Awful's use of these screenshots and content came under fair use. But again, you might say, well, you can't blame FetLife for trying. You can't blame them for wanting their content taken down because maybe they just thought it crossed the line. They used too much of it. Or maybe they were exposing members. No. FetLife made the claim that Something Awful was using its own material, that they were using content owned by FetLife. Meaning, the photos and text posted by users. Here's the problem. FetLife, at that time, did not make any such claims on the ownership of that content. Their terms of use didn't state anything like that. In fact, it stated the opposite. Yet, they claimed in their DMCA takedown notice that they did own it. Well, now we have FetLife not only refusing to live up to its own terms of use, we have FetLife making claims that they own things that their terms of use do not give them the rights to. Here is a huge problem. Do you want FetLife making those claims on your stuff? This is a website that isn't very competent in general. For years, it was a website that would crash one or two times a week. It wasn't very well run. In fact, I remember 2 years ago, they posted a job opening for a community manager, and a friend of mine said, you know, you've kind of done this before, and you criticize FetLife often. And this is the kind of position where you could maybe make actual changes and make this website better. So I applied. At least I attempted to apply. FetLife posted an email address that was so swamped by requests and job applications that it crashed for over a week, and you couldn't send in an application. That's right. They couldn't take applications through the email address they posted due to their own incompetence. That's not a good sign. Granted, the website has been up a lot more than it was in the past. There have been fewer crashes. There has been less downtime. But do you really want a site that took so long to get its shit together, making claims that it owns your shit, while allowing all of this shit content that it's told credit card companies it won't allow? I don't know. In the past, this was worrisome, but now it's gone further. In the last week, John Baku, the founder of FetLife, has gotten in the middle of two incredibly fucked up situations. The first one I won't go into very much. It involves the outing of a user who has been stalked by a murderer. Basically, a pair of people on FetLife went around sending private messages linking to an article that had the personal information of this woman involved. They outed her. They outed her real name. She went to the caretakers of FetLife, the moderators, and was basically rebuffed. They wouldn't do anything about it until she jumped through ever-changing hoops, ever-changing requirements to get it down, to the point where, in the thread she posted about it, outing FetLife for their inability to prevent people from outing her, John Baku posted about how he wanted to give people second chances, how he didn't want to just ban people on site, not wanting to ban people for putting someone's life at risk, and then saying that, yes, you sent us a police report, acting like sending a police report isn't legitimate proof that this person is being harassed. Between all of the other proof she submitted, do you think she's also making up this police report? It was such a casual dismissal of it. A pretend show of concern while John Baku sat there, loving random naked photos of ladies and chatting it up with his friends. And then, this just adds to their problems, because it's almost the opposite of one of FetLife's former problems. For years they've been criticized that they don't allow the outing of abusers. If you've been raped, if you've been sexually assaulted, if you've been assaulted, you can't post the name of the person on FetLife. They don't want accusations like that made. They don't want people outed, and they don't want criminal complaints posted on FetLife. Now, the site is located in Canada, and Canada's criminal code is very interesting when it comes to these issues. So you can at least make the claim that FetLife is in the right and not allowing you to out rapists. It still seems very fucked up, and they treat it very casually. I've seen so many posts from people who have tried to out their rapists or tried to get them banned from FetLife, and they've gotten messages from the caretakers, feigning concern, acting like their friend, when, in the end, the message basically says, "Fuck you, we won't do anything about it," while trying to put a rosy coat to a fucked-up situation. If you're not going to help someone, don't act like their friend. It makes it worse. Now, that's bad enough. But by saying you don't want to out people that way, you don't want real names posted, and then when someone outs someone's real name and life in a very dangerous stalking situation, and you won't do anything about it immediately, that is the ultimate in hypocrisy. That is completely disgusting. But amazingly, This isn't the most disgusting thing done this week. A YouTube video was posted by a user. The video was posted. A link was posted to it. It was of a 9-year-old boy asking people if he was hot or not, and suggesting they like him on Facebook or tell him what they thought. The caretakers were alerted to this, and instead of doing anything about it, what did John Baku do? I guess I shouldn't say that. He did do something about it. He posted a parody video where he made fun of the kid and linked to the video. Because the founder of the website, a website that has this community basis, that has this foundation of people who want to be accepted, want to be part of a community, if the leader of a site does that, it's going to lead to a flood of traffic. And that's what happened. The kid's YouTube video was subject to disgusting posts, trolling, insults, just horrible things that a 9-year-old shouldn't be exposed to. And his Facebook was similarly flooded. You might say, what kind of an idiot is this John Baku? What is he even thinking of? But let's look at the beginning of this. FetLife isn't supposed to allow anything like that in general. Their agreement with the credit card company states, no children. People aren't allowed to post pictures of their children or themselves as children due to their agreements with the credit card companies. Yet, John Baku decides to post a video satirizing this young boy and linking to it when it's in violation of his own terms of use, his own agreement with the credit card companies, which is very, very, I don't know, in the news on FetLife, because they recently had their credit card payment processing revoked due to their violations. So rather than showing the credit card companies that they're going to comply fully with these rules, John Baku does the opposite. This man won't abide by his own terms of use. He won't abide by his own agreements with credit card processors. And he shows the worst judgment possible in making fun of a 9-year-old boy and leaving him open to a flood of trolling, adult content, and insults. People say that John Baku should step down. He should, but it's probably too late. This may open the door to FetLife being flooded by lawsuits from the family, because the family has been alerted to what happened. The police have been alerted to what happened. And even if he hadn't done this, the incident with the woman who was outed may have been worse, because, let's face it, this kid can go to therapy. It sucks that this kid had this happen to him, but the kid won't be killed for this. The woman who was outed is in a very dangerous, violent situation. And he allows community managers to tell people like that, you just made things worse for yourself by posting here. He will post and not do anything about it. He will claim that this only deserves a warning when people put someone's life at risk, and then goes around and makes fun of a 9-year-old boy. Whichever is worse, I don't know. But this is a pattern of behavior from FetLife and its management that has existed almost since the site began, at least since I've been a part of it. I'm not going to delete my FetLife profile because, as I've mentioned before, if someone's impersonating you or stealing your content, you kind of need a FetLife profile to get it taken down, but I'm scaling mine way back. I'm going to be much less active on that site, and I'd already been inactive, except for 2 groups I lead. I suggest that if you feel similarly, that you don't use FetLife as much either. Maybe things will turn around, maybe it will be sold, but for now, it's a wasteland of poor decision-making and unfair use of terms of use and bullying. Well, with that, I bid you farewell for this episode. Until next time.